Welcome to God and Country Radio, where it discusses current events on life scripture. I'm your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship, pastor of Harbor Bible Church in Lawrence Harbor, New Jersey. Big news last week, and the piece of news I'm glad to announce. Supreme Court ruling Roe v. Wade from January 22, 1973. The ruling that legalized abortion in America has been overturned. Or rather, it looks quite evident that the leaked Supreme Court decision pretty much indicates that Roe will be overturned. Back in December, laws in the state of Mississippi limiting abortion came before the Supreme Court. And given the conservative majority on the court, it was expected that in order to uphold the Mississippi law, the court would have to overturn Roe v. Wade and return America to the pre-Roe v. Wade era when states decided these moral questions. Since the 10th Amendment of the Constitution clearly relegates these issues to the states. Quote, the powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution or prohibited by it to the states are reserved to the states respectively or to the people. There is no right to abortion in the Constitution. There is no right to homosexual marriage in the Constitution for that matter. But the Supreme Court, seven unelected judges back in 1973, overstepped their bounds and decided to be the moral arbiters of the nation, when really that duty is reserved for the people through their legislators. Now, what was leaked to the press, specifically to Politico, was Samuel Alito's draft majority opinion of the court overturning Roe v. Wade. Alito writes, Roe was egregiously wrong from the start. We hold that Roe and Casey must be overturned. It's time to heed the Constitution and return the issue of abortion to the people's elected representatives. Wow, this really turns back this concept of activist courts. Alito wrote, Roe was egregiously wrong from the start. Its reasoning was exceptionally weak, and the decision has had damaging consequences. And far from bringing about national settlement of the abortion issue, Roe and Casey have inflamed debate and deepened division. You know, by the way, even the liberal Supreme Court Justice, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, said that Roe v. Wade was a poor decision, and it didn't settle the issue. Why? Because the courts found the right to abortion in an implied constitutional right to privacy. But the right to privacy is never a way to decide a moral question. The issue is whether the action is right or wrong, because the right to privacy could justify any heinous crime, such as I can murder or rape someone because I have the right to privacy. So the right to privacy to justify abortion was foolish. It undermined the entire integrity of our legal system. But in 1973, the justices were looking for a way to justify abortion and to increase court power. Isaiah 29:21, concerning those who defraud the one in the right with meaningless arguments. So, because the right to abortion was irrational, for the last 70 years, logic, reason, and justice have been on the side of the pro-life movement. Embarrassing judges and politicians who have had to come up with silly smokescreen arguments to defend abortion, like this whole argument of choice. But since when is choice an argument for any moral position? Such as, you know, I should have the right to murder and pillage because I have the right to choice. Well, that's ridiculous. So the pro-abortion movement has always had to obfuscate their real position. That for them, the murder of babies is acceptable. Even during this last week, the arguments coming from the left against this court ruling were unbelievably irrational. Trying to defend abortion on the basis of anti-racism, anti-bullying and assault on minorities, arguing that abortion is healthcare. You know, all of those arguments turn against pro-abortionists because look at what they're doing to babies in the womb. That is the ultimate racism, the ultimate bullying, the ultimate anti-healthcare. A pro-abortionist even wrote graffiti on a church in Colorado, "Abortion saves lives." So how does any rational person come to a place where they're so twisted in their thinking that they turn justice on its head? Calling good evil and evil good, Isaiah chapter 5, or as George Orwell in his novel 1984, the state slogans were war is peace, slavery is freedom, and ignorance is strength. Orwell is also known to have said political language is designed to make lies sound truthful and murder respectable and to give the appearance of solidity to pure wind. Well, this is what happens when people depart from God. Romans chapter 1, verse 21, they become futile in their speculations and their foolish hearts are darkened. Or Ephesians chapter 4, they become darkened in their understanding because of the hardness of their heart. Now, what happens intellectually is what I discussed last week. That for the left, right and wrong are determined by outcomes, not by objective moral truth. So what is right or wrong is a function of what's good for me. Truth is based upon personal feelings. Things that make me feel good are right. Things that make me feel bad are wrong. And abortion becomes right for abortionists because it relieves them of personal responsibility and work. Personal gain is the foundation for ethics on the left. And that's why they see abortion as right. And undergirding all this is their belief in man's autonomy from God. That's really the root issue. That there is no God to tell me what to do. I'm my own God. Now, only very few people in the pro-life movement have really addressed these deeper issues, laying the axe to the root. Many pro-life people argue on the same humanistic, pragmatic basis as the left. One of my favorite verses that describes our current culture, that describes the darkness that comes upon people who abandon God and His truth and who attempt to live autonomous from God, is Proverbs chapter 28, verse 5. Evil men do not understand justice. They don't understand it. But those who seek the Lord understand all things. Or how about Proverbs chapter 4, verse 18? The path of the righteous is like the light of dawn. The way of the wicked is darkness. They do not know over what they stumble. Or Isaiah chapter 8, verse 20. To the law and to the testimony, if they do not speak according to this word, it's because they have no light. And what Jesus said in John chapter 12. For a little while longer, the light is among you. Walk while you have the light so that darkness will not overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he goes. While you have the light, believe in the light, so that you may become sons of the light. What I want to do in this program is list the spiritual lessons God is teaching his people over the last 70 years in this pro-life versus pro-choice battle. And the main lesson is the moral darkness that falls upon the unsaved, where they'll even justify the killing of babies. That's an amazing lesson that the church is learning. And we're learning how the left can never deal with the real issue because they can't defend the real issue. And the lesson here is that moral logic always favors God's moral law. And to thwart God's moral law, one has to enter into the realm of irrational absurdity. But isn't that the nature of evil? And in hell, unconnected from God, everyone will be insane. But I'm getting off on a tangent here. Alito went on to write in his majority opinion, and the majority opinion will be the court's ruling, quote, Roe's survey of history ranged from the constitutionally irrelevant to the plain incorrect. And Alito's opinion is 98 pages with a 31-page appendix about historical state abortion laws. Pro-abortionists have been lying and saying that there were never state laws against abortion before Roe versus Wade, when in fact, every state had a law against abortion. And yet just 7 Supreme Court justices overstepped their authority and decided that all of these states were morally wrong. Before 1973, 38 states had abortion illegal. Clearly the majority. A two-thirds majority. And only 6 states recently made it legal in some circumstances. So in America, before leftist revisionism, the killing of babies in the womb was always considered murder. Alito writes, "The inescapable conclusion is that a right to abortion is not deeply rooted in the nation's history and traditions. Until the latter part of the 20th century, there was no support in American law for a constitutional right to obtain an abortion. Zero. None. No state constitutional provision had recognized such a right." So this majority opinion by Alito makes some great points. I encourage you to find it online and read it yourself. Because Alito addresses the fact that abortion was originally based upon eugenics and the elimination of the black population. Alito also calls pro-choice advocates abortionists. Alito addresses the argument that the public has come to assume abortion is a right, and therefore the court should not overthrow Roe versus Wade. He addresses the issue of stare decisis. Alito also shatters Harry Blackmun's original argument in Roe that the right to abortion was found in the 14th Amendment. And Blackmun's statement that the exact location for the right to abortion is unimportant. The reason Christians should read this ruling is because it helps us to become wise and discerning ambassadors for Christ. In Titus chapter 1, to exhort in sound doctrine and to refute those who contradict. There's a lot to talk about here. It's really hard to reduce it into a 25-minute radio program. But let me just list some lessons to be learned from this whole issue. The first lesson being learned is the insanity of the unsaved. Another lesson is the leaking of this ruling. Definitely a Genesis chapter 50 verse 20 moment. They meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. This is God's concurrence. The story is that a pro-abortionist clerk leaked this ruling to the press. Probably out of outrage, you know, apparently to activate pro-abortionists against this ruling. I immediately thought this leak was deliberate, just to break the ruling to the public gradually. So there wouldn't be the riots that usually results from emotions running high. But the leaking of this ruling was actually a good thing. It showed the courts and everyone that the world didn't come to an end in the overthrowing of Roe. It showed the courts that there are really not enough people who care about this issue enough to protest it. You know, security fences were put up all around the Supreme Court last week, and only 100 people showed up to protest. There were more reporters than protesters. The annual pro-life march in Washington brings out about 30 to 100,000 people. The January 6th rally brought nearly 400,000 people to Washington. So unlimited abortion is not that popular with the people. And, you know, people realize that with this ruling, if a woman really wants an abortion, it's no real hardship. She can travel to a pro-abortion state, or she can take an abortion drug. Not that that is right, but, you know, abortionists have plenty of options. The real reason for protesting this ruling is that morally, pro-abortionists can't have the federal government overturn Roe versus Wade because it undermines their moral authority. Their argument that it's the law of the land. And for many people, right and wrong is decided by the state. Or rather, if the state says it's okay, it couldn't be all that bad. And those men and women who have aborted their children, and I include the men in this, They don't want the state to outlaw abortion because that would indict them as having done something wrong. And they want to suppress any knowledge of their misdeed. They want the society to agree with them, to soothe their conscience. And so here's another lesson in the overthrowing of Roe. In that the states now have to decide the abortion issue, we will have abortion states and non-abortion states, just like we had pro-slavery states and anti-slavery states. And the separation of the righteous from the unrighteous is always a good thing. Evil is always parasitic off of the good. But if evil has to stand alone, it has to reap fully the fruit of its own ways, without being able to steal the moral capital off of the righteous. These pro-abortion states will reap the consequences. Dying demographics, family problems, the attracting of the criminal element. And it will be evident to all that states that murder babies are bad places. This is what the pro-abortionists, the evil of this world, don't want. They don't want to be left to their own devices. You know, just like communists don't want to be separated from capitalists totally. Homosexuals don't want to be separated from communities where there are traditional families, or, you know, high tax politicians want to be in places where there is successful free enterprise, because they know the kind of terrible society that would result from their policies. Now, not all of the wicked know this, but some of the more astute ones do. Well, this is 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. And also, by sending the law back to the states, back to local politics, pro-life organizations can put greater pressure on their state legislators. It's going to be very difficult for pro-abortion states to keep up their lies when most other states are pro-life. Now, Christians would have wanted the Supreme Court to reverse Roe versus Wade and also determine from the Constitution that children in the womb have a constitutional right to life. In fact, if the Constitution is to be used as a moral guide, the Constitution supports the right to life more than it supports the right to abortion. In the Declaration of Independence, the right to life is foundational. So the argument could be made that the Supreme Court should overrule any state law permitting abortion in a perfect world. But we have in this world an incremental approach where there's a gradual turn back of the Holocaust of abortion. So this Supreme Court ruling is a good thing. It will save lives. It will undermine the entire pro-abortion movement, just as slavery was overturned incrementally. And this brings me to the next lesson we can take from all this. Be patient, endure, fight for what is right, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Since 1973, pro-life people have been fighting against pro-abortion laws. We've been speaking out for those who cannot speak out for themselves, the unborn, the least among us. Proverbs chapter 31, verse 8, open your mouth for the mute, for the rights of all the unfortunate. Open your mouth, judge righteously, and defend the rights of the afflicted and the needy. It has been exactly a 70-year fight from 1972-73 to 2022. And victory over slavery took about 70 years, from the signing of the Constitution in 1789 to the overthrow of slavery, the Emancipation Proclamation of 1863. What's that, about 74 years? Leftists are claiming that racism and oppression were built into our founding documents and that racism is endemic to America. But no, we were founded on righteous principles. It just took a long time to fight the ungodly and implement God's law. How long did it take before communism was overthrown in the Soviet Union? Well, 1917 to 1991, 74 years. You know, this is actually the fear of the ungodly. And that's why they keep saying that history is going to be on their side, because they know in their conscience that it will not be. History is never on the side of that which is contrary to God's law. God always wins. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 19. Do not fret because of evildoers or be envious of the wicked, for there will be no future for the evil man. The lamp of the wicked will be put out. Do we believe that? If we did, we'd be more bold, more confident. We'd convey a better message to this world. Philippians chapter 1, verse 28. Paul says, in no way we should be alarmed by our opponents, because that's a sign of destruction for them, but salvation for us. Well, that brings us to a final lesson to consider in the overturning of Roe. America has become more immoral, not less, over the last 50 years, over the last 70 years. So how can it be that Roe versus Wade is finally overturned? Is this just an anomaly because of a few conservative Supreme Court justices that are outside the mainstream? Is this a genuine turning back to God, or is this just rearranging the chairs on the deck of the Titanic? And even after this ruling, abortion will still be practiced, but at the state level. Well, there's an interesting parallel to this in the history of ancient Israel. Israel was judged for the abortions that took place under King Manasseh. Child sacrifice was practiced, which was the ancient form of abortion. And God said through the prophet, 2 Kings 21, I will abandon the remnant of my inheritance and deliver them into the hands of their enemies. And they will become as plunder and spoil to all of their enemies, because they have done evil in my sight and have provoked me to anger since the day their fathers came from Egypt, even to this day. Moreover, Manasseh shed very much innocent blood until he had filled Jerusalem from one end to the other. 2 Chronicles 33:6. Manasseh made his sons pass through the fire in the valley of Bahinom. And Jeremiah addressed this in Jeremiah chapter 7, the murder of the innocent children in Israel. But after Manasseh, the righteous king Josiah ruled, and he made reforms in the land. And it appears that the practice of child sacrifice was outlawed. 2 Kings 23:10. But even though there was this conservative swing in Israel right before her demise, judgment still fell on the nation. You see, the blood guilt was still upon the land, and the people did not change their hearts intrinsically. So let's not assume that the overturning of Roe versus Wade means the saving of America. God's word to Moses in Exodus chapter 32 is a great lesson. Even though God would spare the Israelites despite the golden calf incident, God tells Moses, but go now, lead the people where I told you. Behold, my angel shall go before you. Nevertheless, in the day when I punish, I will punish them for their sin. Romans chapter 2, verse 5. The unsaved are storing up wrath for themselves in the day of wrath, and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. So God gives us these little victories and reprieves along the way, simply to be a sign of the greater victory to come. All the current victories in this world are incomplete, but there's coming a day when there will be a complete eternal victory for God's people. And that's why people need to get right with God and receive Christ as Savior and Lord. I'm out of time, and as usual, there's more to discuss on this topic. I have all that on my YouTube version of this program, at my YouTube channel and my Rumble channel, God and Country Biblical Exposition. Website for all of the links is godandcountryradio.org. Thanks for listening. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, thank you for overturning Roe as a testimony for righteousness, to reward the efforts of the pro-life movement, and to be just one sign, one foreshadowing of the greater event to come. Thank you for the complete day of righteousness that will soon be upon us, in the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.